kids don't know how lucky you got it. Well, back in my day, we didn't have no fancy campus radio. We had to make our own radio out of dirt. Nowadays, you kids with your CJLO 1690 AM, I miss the good old days.
For CJLO News, I'm Donald Roberge. Montreal Mayor Valerie Plante has announced that the city will be investing over $1.8 billion to reinvigorate its downtown core. Both the pandemic and loss of office workers choosing to do business from home has left the area with a struggling retail sector. Included in the investment is the creation of new living spaces and green spaces, as well as improved cleanliness. Plante also said that special emphasis would be placed on the identity of certain sectors like the Latin Quarter and Chinatown. The mayor indicated that Montreal's difficulties are not unlike many international cities whose downtown cores have struggled to reattract people after the pandemic. The city of Longueuil has announced that they do not have any intention of removing camps created by houseless people. As part of a press conference introducing a strategy addressing the city's itinerant issue, Mayor Catherine Fournier said that only camps that presented a safety issue would be dismantled. The city's action plan includes an $835,000 investment, as well as an inventory of vacant land and a camp management plan. The city will also set up an intervention project in its libraries and easier access to storage. Currently, Longueuil has between 200 and 1,000 houseless people in its municipality and approximately 12 camps. A spike in COVID, influenza, and RSV cases has created crowding in many of Montreal's emergency rooms. Katie Brady has more.
While union negotiations continue for nurses, winter cold and flu season continues to batter Montreal's ERs. Many are still nearing or over 200% capacity this week, and many hospitals across Canada are facing similar crises. Aaron Derfel is the health columnist at the Montreal Gazette. He said the state of our network results in patients, particularly elderly patients, being left on stretchers for days on end. With nowhere to be discharged to, he says ERs have become a place for the elderly to go to die.
It's actually a real shame that this is happening. I would even go so far as to describe it as scandalous. And it's, you know, this was a crisis that was years in the making. I believe our public healthcare system has been underfunded. We don't have enough doctors and nurses, and our population is aging. We could foresee that this would happen, and then the pandemic hit, and it just made matters far worse.
Derfel stressed that the dire lack of medical staff in Quebec, especially family doctors, only compounds the problem. Meanwhile, the nurses' union continues to negotiate their contract with the province. This month, Health Minister Christian Dubé had to walk back comments he made urging the public to self-diagnose and avoid ERs. He maintains that the CAQ's new sweeping healthcare reform bill will address the problem.
The thing of changes that I think will make a big difference for the patients.
For more with health columnist Aaron Derfel, tune in Friday morning at 9 a.m. In Montreal for CJLO, I'm Katie Brady.
For more, visit CJLO 1690 AM podcasts on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Tommy John Show is back on a gorgeous, maybe gorgeous not the right word, much warmer considering the weather we've had. Monday, January the 22nd. If you're new to the program, I am Tommy Lane, and this is the Tommy John Show. Every Monday, 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern on CGLO, 1690 a.m., where we discuss everything going on in the world of sports. We got a jam-packed show for you guys for the next hour. Obviously, we have the NFL playoffs to discuss. We have new hirings in the NHL, and also the Australian Open heads to the second week. So why don't we start off like we always do with the news going on in the world of sports in the past week. And obviously, we are going to start off with the National Football League. The divisional round was this weekend, two games Saturday, two games Sunday. And man, what a weekend of sports. Unbelievable. Why don't we start off with the Baltimore Ravens, the number one seed in the AFC. They look good. Very, very good. Lamar Jackson answering a lot of questions that people had. A, can he win the postseason? And B, can he make the AFC Championship game, which he's never done before? He answered both those questions. They dismantled the Houston Texans, who still had a great season, 34-10 on Saturday afternoon. Lamar Jackson was 16 of 22, 152 yards, two touchdowns, but the real big stats come in the rushing. He had 11 carries for 100 yards and two touchdowns, four total touchdowns for Lamar Jackson. The Ravens rolled 34-10. Still an amazing story for the Houston Texans, who were the second worst team in the NFL last year. For them to win the AFC South, to go to the AFC divisional round with a rookie head coach and a rookie quarterback, they are set up for years of great football. Like I said, if you get the quarterback right, you get the head coach right, you're going to do great things for a long time. And the Houston Texans solved both of those problems. So a great season for Houston. Baltimore moves on to the AFC Championship game next Sunday at 3:30, where they will host the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs are going for another trip to the Super Bowl. It is their sixth straight AFC Championship. They went into Buffalo, took down the Bills 27-24. Both quarterbacks, both superstar quarterbacks, played great. Patrick Mahomes was 17-23, incredibly efficient. 215 yards, two touchdowns. Josh Allen, 26-39 for a 186. But he was also the leading rusher for the Bills, too. He had 12 carries, 72 yards, and two touchdowns. But it wasn't enough. A late miss kick by Kyle Bass to tie the game goes wide right. And I know that term, wide right, sticks in Buffalo Bills fans' heads. And man, that's just a terrible way to lose. We'll get more into that football game throughout the hour. The San Francisco 49ers, the one seed in the NFC, they played host to the Green Bay Packers, who came from Dallas, Texas, a week ago, where they dismantled the Cowboys. They had a great start. Jordan Love looked good, but in the end, the San Francisco 49ers, on a late touchdown from Christian McCaffrey, pull it out 24-21. Brock Purdy, who struggled early, needed just one good drive at the end, and he had it. 29-39 for 252 and a touchdown. Jordan Love, 21-34, a 194, two touchdowns, but also two picks. McCaffrey, 98 yards, two touchdowns, and a big game from Aaron Jones for the Packers, who was just getting healthier and healthier as the year went on. He had 18 carries for 108 yards. Like I said earlier, like with the Houston Texans, you get the quarterback right, you get the head coach right, you're fine. LaFleur is one of the great offensive minds in the league, and it's safe to say no Aaron Rodgers, no problems for the Packers. They got a guy in Jordan Love. So another great season by the Packers, and it really doesn't matter who's the quarterback. So they go from Favre to Rodgers to Love. It makes no sense. But anyway, great season for the Packers. We'll talk more about the 49ers coming up. And then maybe the greatest story of the year in sports, the Detroit Lions, who hadn't won a playoff game in 30 years, have just won two. Last weekend against the Rams, this weekend against the Buccaneers, 31-23. The Detroit Lions, for the first time in 30 years, are going to the NFC Championship. My God, Jared Goff, 30 for 43, 287, two touchdowns. Baker Mayfield played great, 26 for 41, 350 yards passing, three touchdowns. He did have two picks. The one at the end cost him, but the first one, Mike Evans should have caught. So realistically, if you're looking, the only pick that was on Baker Mayfield was the one that ended up costing them the game. But Mike Evans had a crazy game. 8 catches, 147 yards, and a touchdown. Amara St. Brown was the leading receiver for the Detroit Lions. 8 catches for 77 yards and a touchdown. Jahmyr Gibbs, 9 carries, 74 yards, and a touchdown. You talk about a rookie making an impact. Jahmyr Gibbs has done that. People thought they were crazy taking him 12th overall in the draft from Alabama. Why are you trading DeAndre Swift? Jahmyr Gibbs is just playing a huge role right now. He also caught a few balls as well. 4 catches for 40 yards. What a nice player Jahmyr Gibbs is. And he's going to be there for a long time. And we get 2 great games this weekend to decide who goes to Las Vegas and will play in the Super Bowl. Will it be the 49ers and the Chiefs? 49ers and the Ravens? Will it be Lions, Chiefs, Lions, Ravens? We'll find out next Sunday. We will get into all of that throughout the show, previewing the 2 championship games. In hockey news, Patrick Waugh was announced the newest coach of the New York Islanders, and he already made an impact. Their first game with the new coach, a 3-2 overtime win against one of the league's better teams in the Dallas Stars. Bo Horvat scored the OT winter. Matt Barzal, 2 assists, like he always does. Incredible performance by the Islanders. And I have to say, Patrick Waugh, he will turn it around immediately. If you want a drastic change from the get-go, he's kind of from that hard-nosed hockey tree, already seeing an impact with a huge win against the Dallas Stars. Over the weekend, the Montreal Canadiens, I mean, they played the Bruins tough for 2 periods, but, man, that third period really cost Montreal. 4-0 in the third period alone for the Bruins. 9-4. Danton Heinen, 3-goal hat trick. Charlie Coyle picked up a goal. Brad Marchand, goal and assist. DeBrusk, goal and assist. Pasternak, goal and assist. It was a scoring fest for the Bruins in the third period. They still lead the way in the Eastern Conference. And if you look, Florida was right on Boston's tail, but they've lost 4 in a row, and the Bruins have won 4 in a row. So what was it, 1 point at one time? Florida was back of Boston. Now they are 7 points back of Boston in the Atlantic. Toronto, who started off the road trip poorly, losing at Edmonton, and not to mention they lost 3 games before that and blowing leads. They got a huge win in Calgary. They lost to Vancouver, but a nice win last night for the Leafs in Seattle. They sit on 54 points, just 4 points back of the Florida Panthers. And, man, it's really tightening up now, especially because the Western Conference is still up for grabs. The Oilers were down and out in the lottery. People are saying they're going to be in the Celebrini lottery odds. They have won 13 in a row, and I believe 18 of their last 21 games. They are the hottest team in the league by a mile. They are now third in the Pacific Division, and they're 6 points back of Vegas with 4 games in hand. So Edmonton could go from being the worst team in the league to being the 2 seed in the Pacific. Vancouver coasting at the top now on 66 points. Rick Tocchet, coach of the year, most likely. Incredible stuff from the Edmonton Oilers, though. 13 in a row. And what's different this year? It's not all McDavid and Draisaitl. Yes, those are the 2 guys leading the charge. But Zach Hyman's been incredible. Evan Bouchard's been spectacular. I mean, Fogle, it's not just McDavid and Draisaitl, which is honestly probably better off for Edmonton. Take a little bit of weight off the 2 guys' shoulders and put a good product on the ice, and they're doing that. They just signed Corey Perry over the weekend to bolster that bottom 6. Edmonton, right now, hottest team in the NHL. And if you look at that schedule coming up, they got Columbus, who stinks, Chicago, who stinks, Nashville, Anaheim, Arizona. I'm telling you, this win streak could continue. Could absolutely continue. And, man, continuing with the Canadian teams, the Winnipeg Jets remain atop of the Central Division. But Colorado, I know they've put a few more games still on their tail. That's 63 points. The Jets on 64 points. The Australian Open. We know the quarterfinals for the men's, and are we so fortunate? Carlos Alcaraz won last night in straight sets, 6-4, 6-4, 6-love. Sasha Zverev, 5-set thriller over Cam Nori, 7-5, 3-6, 6-3, 4-6, 7-6. And we have the quarterfinal matchups now. Novak Djokovic, Taylor Fritz is tonight at 10:30. My God. Jannik Sinner and Rublev, the 4 and 5 seeds playing. Herkash Medvedev, Zverev, Alcaraz. I mean, it literally all the... If Tsitsipas beat Fritz, all the seeds for the quarterfinals would have been there. And Fritz is still the 12 seed. So theoretically, we got all the matchups we wanted for the quarterfinals. And especially the way Tsitsipas has been playing, we would have rathered Fritz. So this has worked out unbelievably well if you're a tennis fan. If you're dreaming of the best quarterfinals at the beginning of a tournament, this would have been it. And we got them. It's unbelievable. And on the women's side, it's still up in the air. No one really knows what's going to happen. But I will say this. It might be Sabalenka going back to back. If you look who's left in the tournament, not a lot of ranked players left. And that really suits her. Coco Gauff still there. I think that's her biggest chance. But if she wants to go back to back, it's shaping up for her to do that. So we'll get in more to what's going on in the Australian Open throughout the show. First major of the year, and it's surpassed the hype. Even last week, I was trying to go to bed early, and Tsitsipas went 5 sets, or Casper Ruud went 5 sets, Zverev went 5 sets, and like not blowouts in the 5 sets, like 5th set tiebreaks. So real good stuff in the Australian Open as well. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to discuss that incredible, incredible football game last night between the Chiefs and the Bills, as well as previewing the NFC Championship game with San Francisco and Detroit. I'm Tommy Lane for the Tommy John Show, back after this quick word from our sponsors.
Présenté par SiriusXM, le festival déjanté de musique alternative Le Fuck Off est de retour pour sa 10e année consécutive. Du 9 au 17 février, la ville de Québec sera animée par des spectacles et des vitrines de musique émergente de tous genres confondus. Procure-toi ton billet et viens découvrir des artistes éclatés comme Teke Teke, Catashot, Solipsisme, C'est Nicole, Population 2, Totalement Sublime, Virginie B et plus encore. Le Fuck Off, c'est le festival qui réchauffe ton mois de février. Visite le phoqueoff.com pour plus d'informations.
Do you love hip-hop and R&B? Is your Thursday afternoon lacking groove? I'm DJ Samuel V. Roberts, and I got you covered. Listen to my show, Whip Appeal. I'll be playing hip-hop bangers, R&B slow jams, and everything in between from Canada and around the globe to groove up your Thursday afternoon. Listen to Whip Appeal, Thursdays at 2 p.m. CJLO, 1690 a.m.
The Tom and John Show back here on CJLO. So, over the weekend, obviously there are other sports going on. I watched the Bruins game, watched a bit of the tennis, and those were great. Love it. But, man, something about playoff football, it's unbelievable. You know, like the Patriots aren't in it, obviously. Didn't even sniff it. But still, it's like I was nervous, pacing. It's just that, I don't know, it's the one game elimination. Every game's a game 7. Everything's amplified. And I have to say, We got three, you know, that Baltimore game got out of hand. But that first half was great. If Fairbairn hasn't missed the kick, it's 13-10 Houston at the half. Would that have changed things? I don't know. I'm not sure. Would have liked to known, but I still think Baltimore would have won the game. But apart from that, every other game was awesome. And I don't think that was the case last week. The Miami-Kansas City game stunk. The Houston-Cleveland game was over immediately. The only really great one we got was Detroit and the Rams, because the Eagles game was a blowout with Tampa Bay. The Packers, I mean, I loved every second of them beating the Cowboys. But that wasn't a great football game. You're looking for entertainment value. Apart from the Baltimore-Houston game, all of them were close, down to the wire, edge of your seat football. I mean, the Packers were the better team Saturday, if I'm being honest. They outplayed them. What cost them were the two Jordan Love picks and the missed opportunities they had. Like in the first drive, I think Purdy almost threw a pick six and it was dropped. So that was a big factor. But Green Bay is going to be fine. Houston's going to be fine. Those things are going to be fine. But that game was great. Green Bay should have won. And just San Francisco wouldn't go away. Just lurking, always there. And then when Buddy missed the kick, I'm like, this, I just had a feeling like that was their chance. If it's a tie, so that would make it what? 20, that would have made it 24-17 if he made the kick. Do I believe they would have went for it? Or Jordan Love makes that throw at 24-20, throw across the field trying to make something happen? I don't think so. I think he holds on the ball, and who knows, maybe he gets in field goal range and they win that football game, and instead it's Detroit and Green Bay. But it didn't happen. He's a young guy to remember. I know he sat behind Aaron Rodgers for 3 years, but he's still a young guy. This is his first year in three since college at Utah State, him actually playing as the starter. So it takes time. It really does. He tried to play. It didn't work out. Okay. Do the Packers, normally, if that was an Aaron Rodgers-led team, I feel like they let one slip away. Like, that was a window. Like, that was the year. With Jordan Love, I mean, listen, compared to the AFC, the NFC quarterbacks are nowhere near as good. That might change with Caleb Williams and Drake May going 1-2 to Washington and Chicago. Then you add those two guys in, we'll see. But you look at the NFC, Jordan Love is already, after a month or 2 months of great football, is already in that conversation as one of the better quarterbacks in the NFC. If you go through it, who's the elite one? Do you think Daniel Jones is good? No. Sam Howell? No. Then you got Dak, Jalen Hurts, Cousins. Jared Goff's in that conversation now. Absolutely. You have Justin Fields, Baker, Derek Carr, Bryce Young, Desmond Ridder, Stafford, Brock Purdy, Kyler Murray, Geno Smith. If you ask me right now, I'd say Stafford and Goff are probably the two best. And then I know Jalen Hurts was in the Super Bowl last year, but besides that year, he hasn't been that good of a quarterback, if we're being honest. Rookie year stunk, and albeit he was thrown into the fire because Carson Wentz was awful. His next year after, he was okay. But it was really last year where people were like, this guy's an elite quarterback. And Steichen left. Jonathan Gannon left. Sirianni was left to coach the guy by himself, basically. And he didn't look as good. And you can blame injuries all you want. Fine. But you don't go from being that good to that bad that quickly. Don't put that on an injury. I don't want to hear it. I don't. And I love Brock Purdy. I think Brock Purdy's a fringe top 10 quarterback, but I don't think he's as, if you ask me, would I take Jordan Love or Brock Purdy? Probably Jordan Love. If I'm being honest right now, what I saw, he's bigger, stronger, better arm. It's close. It's really close. Well, that's what I'm saying, though. My point is, the NFC does not have great quarterbacks right now. And he's young. It's not an Aaron Rodgers who's 40 years old. It is a new, young quarterback who showed he has a crazy arm and is a smart dude, learned the playbook, and he has got a young, offensive-minded head coach. So that should work out fine for them. The Packers will be in the hunt for a long time now. And you look at that team, Kraft's a young tight end. Romeo Doubs is young. Christian Watson's young. Do I go on and on? They're going to be fine. Aaron Jones, at the end of this year, when he got healthy, looks like an elite back in the National Football League. The Packers are going to be fine. Packers are going to be fine. Normally, I would say, Buffalo will get into it. Was that window closing? We'll talk about that. But the Packers, you're going to be fine. All your guys are young on rookie deals. You're going to have to pay Jordan Love, but his contract won't kick in for another 2 years. So they're fine. And from a team that was constantly getting, I don't want to say they were. An organization is getting humiliated by their star player and Aaron Rodgers. Every week something was wrong in the media. This, that, whatever. I need to go in a cave to think. They just said enough. The kid's ready. Throw him out there. He's sat, learned enough. And now, look at them. How much better of a position are the Packers in now than a year ago? A year ago, they had a chance to make the playoffs on their home field against Detroit. They lost. They missed the playoffs. And it was a question mark. Will Rodgers come back? What are we going to do? Oh, my God. He says, I need time to get away. And it was a mystery. Now there's no mystery in Green Bay anymore. It is so simple. You just keep building around Jordan Love. You got to build up that defense a bit. They played much better in the postseason, but in the regular season, that was the one knock, is that maybe you can up the defense a little bit. Maybe you had some depth at an offensive line if Bakhtiari's, not going to come back. We'll see. That's a fun story to talk about, the Green Bay Packers. But my concern is Deebo Samuel for next weekend, because he is such an important figure for that team, such an important player. And if you look at when the Niners lost in the regular season, did Deebo play any of the games they lost? I don't remember. Did he play the Cincinnati game? I know he didn't play. He got hurt the Cleveland game, which they lost. He got hurt early. And he missed the Minnesota game, I believe. So they might be undefeated when Deebo Samuel, I have to pull that up and check that. They might be undefeated when Deebo Samuel plays. And why is that? Because A, he's an elite wide receiver, and B, you can use him anywhere. They can line him up in the backfield. He can block as the fullback. He can do everything. And he's still in the regular season, he runs hard, but in the playoffs, it's another level. He's like a bigger, stronger Pacheco running style. He just runs angry. And I have to say, if he's not there, will it be are they toast? No, because they're a very good football team. But come on now. I know Ayuk's great. I know Kittle's great. I know McCaffrey's arguably the best player in the league. Brock Purdy's serviceable, but Deebo Samuel opens up his playbook. I have here he didn't play against Cincinnati. I have George Kittle, Ayuk, Ray-Ray McCloud, Elijah Mitchell, McCaffrey, Juszczyk, Elijah Mitchell. So I don't think he played, which is alarming. Alarming. Because when they play with Deebo, they win. They're undefeated when Deebo plays. That's an incredible stat. So he better be there, because the Lions are going to score points. I know San Fran's got a good defense, but their pass attack right now in Detroit is quite special. Amon-Ra St. Brown's great. They just signed Zach Ertz to the practice squad. They'll elevate him before the game for sure. Laporta is a rookie, and he's unbelievable. Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery, that offensive line. Penei Sewell may be the best offensive lineman in the league. Maybe. And Jared Goff, and I've always been a Jared Goff guy, if you give him time to throw, throws one of the nicer balls in the league. And we're seeing it this postseason. There was the redemption game against the Rams. He balled out. Then a chance to get into the NFC Championship game. He balls out. And people might act surprised, but people forget he did go to a Super Bowl. I know Sean McVay was the head coach, and I know they had prime Aaron Donald and Robert Woods and Todd Gurley, and the list goes on and on. And yes, the Rams would still make that trade 10 times out of 10 because they won a Super Bowl with Matt Stafford. Fair enough. But to act like Jared Goff is not a great quarterback in the NFL right now would be lying. He's experienced. He's been to the biggest game. So this NFC Championship game won't faze him. If he had a young quarterback who's never been there before, it could get out of hand, or a quarterback that's been in that spot and didn't play well might hurt him before. But he went to New Orleans in the NFC Championship game, and albeit they lucked out by maybe the worst non-call I've ever seen. But Jared Goff still won him that football game, because if I remember correctly, Drew Brees got the ball in overtime. Got the ball first. The Saints won the toss. And all I remember, it was Jared Goff leading his team down the field for the game-winning kick in the NFC Championship game. So I don't think Jared Goff will be fazed. I don't. And I know one thing. Dan Campbell will have his players ready to play. Now, here's the other thing that might play into it. San Francisco loves to run the football, obviously, with that O-line, that run scheme, and the best running back in the league. As sketchy as Detroit's pass defense might be, they're the best run defense in the league. The one thing they do well is stop the run. So this might be more of a Brock Purdy game than San Francisco would like it to be. You might have to see him, you know, bootleg and get out of the pocket, which I think he can do well. But all signs point to Detroit playing them tough, which I think they will. Tampa Bay, Baker played great yesterday. Tampa Bay's a good team, got a good defense, great receivers. And the Lions look great. The Rams were the hottest team in the league coming into the playoffs. They look great. And will the home field have a effect potentially? I would maybe, like, I just think the San Francisco is more firepower. So I think maybe they're probably going to win. But I saw lines at like 7.5, 8.5. I don't see it as of right now. Let me see the forecast. Let me see other things before game time. But a week out from the game. And I'll be rooting for Detroit. It's such a great story. If the Lions were to go to a Super Bowl, oh my God, it'd be mayhem. So that game's really interesting. I don't be surprised if that's a 2-minute drill at the end, either Jared Goff or Brock Purdy to go to the Super Bowl. Easily see it. So the last game we have to talk about is that one in Buffalo, New York last night. And if we can, for a moment, can we go back in time to the first time they played each other in the playoffs, which was the AFC Championship game, if I remember correctly, in 2020, yes. So if we want context for that, the Chiefs, Mahomes' first year, lost to the Patriots and Brady in the AFC Championship game. Next year, won the Super Bowl. Year after, playing the Bills. And why was that previous information matter? Because everyone was saying Mahomes is the best quarterback in the league without a question. There's no second, no third. Doesn't matter. Mahomes is the best quarterback in the league. Maybe at the old people saying Brady like myself. And okay, so it's Brady and Mahomes running the league. Maybe Aaron Rodgers. Like, those were the three. No one was really mentioning Josh Allen. And while the Bills did lose quite easily in that football game, there were a few scouts and a few writers and a few people said, you know what, like, watch out for Buffalo. Josh Allen, he's a few years from clicking. And you could obviously see it. He's 6'5", 245, he's got a cannon, can run. If you want to build a quarterback, it might be Josh Allen. Then the next year, again, the Bills win 12 games. The Chiefs go to the Super Bowl, they lose. But still, they went to the Super Bowl. And the next year, it's people are saying, all right, it's going to be Kansas City probably again. And people had to hear, and the Bills had to hear, and Josh Allen had to hear all offseason of 2020, 2021, that they have no chance against Kansas City. And we heard they took names that year. They played the Patriots in the division, in the wild card round, and they didn't punt. They scored a touchdown on every drive. They killed the Patriots. And they went to Arrowhead for the divisional round, and Josh Allen played the best game of his career. And we all know the story, 13 seconds, Mahomes gets him in field goal range, the Bills lose the coin toss, Chiefs go to the AFC Championship game. Okay. But what happened after that game, yes, the Chiefs won, yes, Mahomes looked great, everyone was talking about A, how both teams should touch the ball in the playoffs, and B, how Josh Allen is superhuman. Because in that postseason, he was superhuman. I don't want to know how many touchdowns he threw in two games. No turnovers. And everyone was saying, he's the next guy. Mahomes is great. Has a Super Bowl. He's next. And that whole offseason, after the Rams won the Super Bowl, and after Burrow and the Bengals went the next week and beat the Chiefs, and even though the Chiefs had been in the AFC Championship game for, what, was it 3 years in a row at that point? Four? 4 years in a row? The betting favorite by a mile to win the Super Bowl were the Buffalo Bills. And they started out that season going on the road at Los Angeles and destroying the Super Bowl champions. And everyone loved Buffalo, and Josh Allen was just the lock for MVP. Then along the way, whether it was Von Miller getting hurt, and the DeMar Hamlin situation, and everything that could go wrong went wrong down the stretch, and they were still hosting the Bengals in a playoff game. And they let the Bengals, as, what, 5-6 point favorites, come in there and beat them. Everyone in the world thought Buffalo were the team to beat. You don't want to play Buffalo. They fell short. So that takes us to this season. What happens? Aaron Rodgers shows up in New York. The Dolphins getting Vic Fangio and Jalen Ramsey in. And another year for Tua, actually going to be healthy. Who knows? Will the Bills even make the playoffs? So they went from Super Bowl favorites to a year later being, will they make the playoffs? And there was that while. There was that game at Kansas City. And where would it be? Week 13, week 14. They were their season in the balance, 6-6. You lose, your playoff chances go to 5%. You win, your playoff chances go to like 50-something percent. They win that game, albeit Kadarius Toney offside. Fair enough. But ever since then, the Bills had not lost. They lost the Eagles game. That was their last one. Their first win of the win streak was at Kansas City. The reason I bring that up is that was what everyone was telling me before this week. Tommy, they went to Arrowhead this year and they beat them. I said, yes, I know. And as much as I want the Bills to win, and as much as I don't want to say I can't stand the Chiefs. I just don't like the Chiefs. I mean, like, I'm just not a fan of Kansas City. I like Mahomes. I think he's an all-time great quarterback, like Andy Reid. But I don't know. They just, like, let's get some. I'd rather a market like Buffalo, who hasn't won in ever, or Houston or Baltimore. I'd rather all those teams over Kansas City, who's won a lot recently. And the whole week I'm listening to the media. People were loving Buffalo. And I'm like, God, I just don't see it. And I even told my buddies who were, some of them rooting for Kansas City. I said, you know me, I'm not rooting for the Chiefs. But I don't know what it is. Every time Buffalo plays them, when it matters, something goes wrong. And the Bills, for some reason, are an organization like the Cowboys recently where they just, it just, something happens. Just heartbreak for them. And the line came out. It was around 2.5 favorites for Buffalo, 3 points. I'm like, I can't believe this. But here's the thing. People are like, Tommy, an arrowhead, I believe you. This time, it's at Orchard Park in Buffalo. Okay. Fine. But still, I did not sense it. And I think I said on this show, I have to go to the archives and check. I said, I'm not as sure as Buffalo as everyone else. If they get through this Pittsburgh game, because the game was afternoon, I'm not sure. It doesn't look good. You have a short week. The Chiefs played on Saturday. Your game was supposed to be played Sunday, but was postponed because of snow till Monday. And injuries. It's not the same team. Matt Milano, Tre'Davious White, all those guys are not there. And still, everyone in the media was in love with the Bills. And I remember saying, the only chance the Bills have is Josh Allen goes nuclear, super mode, Superman, whatever. You pick whatever analogy you want to use for Josh Allen. And they need a couple of stops. And for the first half of that game, that's what it was. Josh Allen was Superman. And yes, Cook was running the ball very effectively. And the defense, I know they got gashed, but they were whole first two drives. They held the Chiefs to field goals. So I'm like, I will take the Chiefs getting field goals because Josh Allen is getting touchdowns. So I will take that. But somewhere along the line, it just, even while it seemed like Buffalo were the better team just because they had these long possessions. The first drive, which went for the field goal, they took like 8 minutes, no? I think they killed like half the quarter. And then the next drive for the touchdown was just run the ball, power, physical football. We're bringing in the sixth offensive lineman, and we are running it down your throat, Kansas City, because there's nothing you can do about it. And that was working. And at halftime, I honestly felt if the Bills made a stop because the Chiefs get the ball to start second half, I was going to feel real nice about myself and the Bills. Here we go. We get Mahomes off the field. We give it to Josh Allen. We're up 17-13. We do a long 8-minute drive, touchdown, go up 2 scores. And now there's, what, 5 minutes left in the third quarter? Maybe less if we take a long, drawn-out drive. We're in the driver's seat because now we can run the ball, which they can't stop. And it just, everything would have been different. But when I saw Scantley make a great catch on the sidelines, a great throw too by Mahomes, and they went right down the field and scored a touchdown to take the lead, the first possession of the half, I just knew. I'm like, it's not, I don't feel it. Even that drive in the third quarter where Allen made the spectacular throw to Shakir, it was like just a dip. It just didn't feel the same. It was, they needed like a fourth down. They needed a third. I'm like, God, this is not the game we want to play. And in that fourth quarter, both defenses showed up. I know Kansas City scored right at the beginning of the fourth quarter, but besides that, people were thinking, oh my God, this game's going to be like 45-40. Nope. It was a defensive struggle after that. Or offensive struggle, I should say. And literally, you can ask anyone who's watching the game with me. When Allen had the ball, with 7 minutes left, I'm like, they need a touchdown here. They don't get a touchdown, the game's over. Because it's A, Buddy stinks. Bass, he missed 2 kicks last week. He's going to miss. Or you're going to leave 30 seconds for Mahomes? to get a field goal with the best weather kicker in the league in Butker? Doesn't matter, but it could be the tundra. It could be, you can be in a hurricane from 50 yards. He, for some reason, in the elements, he always makes long kicks. So that drive, just everything was going wrong for Buffalo. Diggs dropped it, but they still somehow get the first down. A few plays later, on fourth down, they call great play to Shakir. I'm like, oh my God, if the Bills get a first down on this next play, there's like two something left. If they get a first down here, they could win this football game. Because the Chiefs are going to try and call timeouts. They're going to try and run this clock down. If we can take this to like 10 seconds and score a touchdown, we're in business. Then there was the misread by Allen. He tried to throw it to Shakir, even though he had Diggs open across the middle. Wide open. And then when they didn't get any yards on third down, and you have to trot this kicker who's been shaky, even his extra points look shaky, from 44 yards out, I just knew, it. Oh God, he's not going to make it. And that game sums up the Bills recently quite well. Outplaying teams, bossing teams around at the line of scrimmage, Josh Allen, big time football, and then just vomiting at the end. They had the perfect game plan. They had the perfect everything. They had everything go right. And like literally, whatever that fake punt was by McDermott, that was bonehead. But they lucked out. Hardman fumbles the ball into the end zone, through the end zone, it's a touchback. They lucked out then. Every break they would have wanted went their way, and they still lost in heartbreaking fashion. Allen fumbles, Kincaid knocks it, recovers it. Or bad, he knocked it, and then the lineman recovered, or else that would have been game. So all these breaks, what it was the first drive, Diggs fumbles, Kansas City doesn't recover. So there is all these breaks that went Buffalo's way that usually doesn't go Buffalo's way. And they still lost in heartbreaking fashion. And will the Bills be around next year? Sure, because Allen's that good of a player. And I don't know what Rodgers going to be like, 40 years old. You mean he'll be better than Zach Wilson? The Jets are going to be more competitive. But the Dolphins, every time it hits November, December, crumble, and the Patriots are years away. So the Bills will probably host a playoff game in the wildcard round next year. And they'll probably draw Kansas City in the divisional round again. And I don't care if this Bills team goes 17-0. They play the Chiefs in the divisional round or the AFC championship game or hell, even the wildcard round. Probably won't happen. I would pick Kansas City. Just because for some reason, Buffalo can't get it done. Don't ask me why. Don't ask me how. It just, I've never seen it. They beat Kansas City that playoff game 2 years ago. It was over. There's 13 seconds left. And then they decide to, who, with 13 seconds left, why don't you squib kick? Kill time. What are you doing kicking it deep? That, you crazy? I mean, it's just a team that's cursed almost. And as a Patriots fan, I've seen it firsthand because we've gone in there when they've had decent teams. This is it. The Bills are back. And they just crumble. Crumble. And I'm obviously not writing Josh Allen off, but because I think he's that good. But that's shocking. Everything went your way, and you still found a way to lose. And you can blame it on McDermott. Obviously, you can blame the kicker. We can blame Allen for not hitting Shakir on 2nd and 9. Fair enough. But I don't think anyone played poorly except for Diggs, really. Diggs didn't really do much. Dropped that wide-open pass. That was a great throw from Josh Allen. Hit him right in the hands. But besides that, like, let's be honest. Considering there was all backups on the defense, basically, that game was waiting. That they held the Chiefs under 30 points. It was right there for him. And I have to say, will this just damage everything the Bills have been trying to build over the last few years? Or will it bring them together? A lot of great dynasties or a lot of great championship teams have had heartbreak first before success. And that's a fact. Kansas City lost that heartbreaking game to the Patriots in overtime. They've been fine since. Seattle lost that heartbreaking game to Atlanta. They won the Super Bowl the next year. But the thing is, it seems like it's heartbreaking after heartbreaking after heartbreaking after heartbreaking with the Bills. And it's just gone too far. So I'm not writing off Josh Allen and the Bills and Sean McDermott, but you got to do some changes because Kincaid, Shakir, those guys can play. James Cook can play. That O-line is pretty good. What I'd do, I'd shop Diggs. Get something for Stephon Diggs because he complains all the time in the regular season, puts up good numbers but complains, and in the postseason, he does nothing. How many games now has just Stephon Diggs done nothing? Even the game where the great game in Arrowhead when Allen played incredible, it was Gabe Davis who went nuclear, not Stephon Diggs. Like, literally, the game against Cincinnati last year didn't do anything. The game, the two previous games against the Chiefs in the playoffs did nothing. This game was a liability almost. He fumbled on the first drive. They didn't recover it. And then he dropped wide open. He was open. And Allen hits him right in the hands. And if you're an elite wide receiver in the National Football League and you claim to be one of the great players in Bills history and you complain how you want more money, you got to back it up in the playoffs. And he hasn't done it recently. So I would look to get something for him. Shop him around, get some picks, get some new receivers in there because Josh Allen's good enough to win with Shakir's and to win with Gabe Davis's and the Dalton Kincaids and the guys like that. So get Diggs out. That's what I'd do. Get a haul and build up the rest of the team. Get depth on defense. You can't lose Matt Milano and think everything's going to be okay and you don't have a solution. Go get depth on defense. And try again. If you have Josh Allen as your quarterback, you're going to be in the hunt every year. You're going to be in the playoffs every year. One of those years, it might break your way. But I was not shocked at all. Not shocked at all. Was stunned that everyone thought Buffalo would win. There's a handful who picked Kansas City. But I'm like, why are you guys in love with the Chiefs? I mean, why are you guys in love with the Bills? Well, I just didn't get it. Quick ad, and then we'll conclude this week of the Tommy John Show, previewing the NFC Championship game and the Australian Open quarterfinals. I'm Tommy Lane. We are back after this quick word from our sponsors.
Are you a student interested in giving yoga a try? For just $60, new students can discover the joys of movement and harmony with unlimited access to classes at Moda Yoga Montreal. Located in the heart of the plateau, the Moda Yoga Studio offers a variety of hot yoga classes with something to match every ability level. They're good to find your flow or just recharge. Karma classes excluded, and the offer renews automatically after 1 month at $139 per month. Can be canceled at any time without penalty up to 1 week before the renewal. Moda Yoga Montreal is located at 3863 Saint Laurent Boulevard, and for more information, you can go to modayogamontreal.com.
Autobeat. Yeah. Best in electronic music.
Let me know when you push that record button, baby.
Thursday nights, yeah. 7 to 9 on CJLO, on right 1690 AM.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. Now you know you're the baddest motherfucker around here.
Back here on the Tommy John Show. So, for the last 5 minutes here, we're going to preview the championship games. And I have to say, as much as I would have liked Buffalo to have been in it new team, new story, Josh Allen. I think we're getting a better football game with Kansas City. I really do. Their defense is bad. Buffalo's defense is depleted. Kansas City's got a very good defense. And Mahomes is the best quarterback in the league. And Lamar Jackson is right up there. He's been playing incredible. Incredible. So this is going to be an interesting matchup. And even Detroit. Come on. Like, that's going to be a very interesting matchup. So we're going to preview these games now with my key factors for the NFC and AFC championship games. My number one key factor, and this might sound basic, for the AFC championship game is Lamar Jackson for Baltimore. Okay, yes. You won your second playoff game last week. That was great. You played great. But don't act like the Houston Texans are the Kansas City Chiefs. They are not. And every time you have gone up, whether it be against Mahomes, against Josh Allen, against Joe Burrow in big, big games, just hasn't done it. Like, I'm sorry. Like, against Josh Allen, lost in the divisional round. Tommy got a concussion in the third quarter. Yeah, but he did throw like a 100-yard pick six that game too. You know Patrick Mahomes is going to show up to play. You know Andy Reid's going to scheme. And you know Steve Spagnuolo is going to have something on the defensive side of the ball, whether it be Chris Jones utilizing him, would it be Legarius Sneed going one-on-one with Zay Flowers. I don't know what he's going to do. But he's going to do a good job. He's one of the great defensive coordinators in the league. So that is a key factor, Lamar Jackson playing well and not being overwhelmed. My biggest key factor for the Chiefs is turnovers. Tommy, you're stating the obvious. Not really, because Baltimore takes the ball away more than anyone. And if you talk about polar opposites from week to week, how about facing the practice squad of the Bills on defense versus the best defense maybe in the league apart from Cleveland? You look at that back end with Kyle Hamilton and Humphrey, Roquan Smith at linebacker, Lisk. I mean, even Jadeveon Clowney's had a resurgence. It's remarkable. So right now, early predictions, I it's hard to bet against Mahomes. If we're just looking at teams on paper, I would take the Baltimore Ravens 10 times out of 10 to destroy them. But I would take Patrick Mahomes over Lamar Jackson 10 times out of 10. So that's why I'm leaning Kansas City. In the NFC Championship game, this is going to sound obvious. Detroit, make Brock Purdy beat you. If Brock Purdy goes out there and throws for 350 and four touchdowns, so be it. But you cannot, and I repeat, you cannot have the most obvious answer beat you, and that's Christian McCaffrey. Yes, your run defense has been stellar, but you have not faced this offensive line, you have not faced this run scheme, and you have not faced the best running back in the league. So if you can take Christian McCaffrey basically out of the game as a runner and let Brock Purdy drop back 40-something times, that is your key to victory. And the key to victory for the 49ers is get after Jared Goff. When Jared Goff has time in the pocket to throw, he's as good as anyone and as accurate as anyone. When you get him under pressure, bodies around him, he's not the same guy. He gets rattled. He likes time in the pocket to plant and throw. When he's hurried, when he's rushed, he is not the same quarterback. He just isn't. So if Bosa can get home, if Chase Young can get home, if they can send the linebackers with Warner and Greenlaw, if they can get pressure on Jared Goff consistently, this could get ugly. If they can't, this is going to be a shootout, which the Niners do not want. So those are my quick key factors for all four teams if they want to make it to the Super Bowl 2 weeks from Sunday. That was a fun show. I want to thank you guys for listening. I'll be back next Monday to preview Super Bowl. What number are we at now? 56? We'll preview that next week as well as the Australian Open final. I'm Tommy Lane for the Tommy John Show. Thank you for listening. We are back next Monday, 2 p.m., and we will talk then.
You know...